This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 186 for August 27th, 2018. Stop. I want to keep watching you dance.
If you didn't stop soon, I was going to pass out.
People don't come to the live show. You're missing out. Brian Dunaway always does a little jig at the top of the thing. Is it a jig or a gig?
A gig.
No, I think it's a jig.
It takes me a whole gig to get it started.
Very nice. Hey, welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for another Boop Show. That's where we talk about the video games. We're big fans of the world of video games, and by gum, that's what we do. Somebody emailed me last week and says, how come you guys aren't like covering the latest news all the time? I said, well, we do a little news story, but our goal here is not to be like every other show. There's a billion of those. You can go find those any place. I don't think you need any of that stuff in your life. I think what you need right here, right now, is a little injection of hot Brian and Johnson.
It's a sit down like you would with your friend because, you know, you sit down and talk to your friend. Oh, dude, have you seen the latest news?
Mm-hmm.
No, you don't. You talk about. Oh, I played this game. It reminded me of this, and it was fun. And that's the gaming conversation we want to do.
That's the one we're going to make. That's the one we're making, and we begin it today with a discussion of a game that I played this week. We talk about three games that we played each. I feel like I'm telling people the format today, and I don't know why I'm doing that. I'll stop doing it now.
No, tell them every time because otherwise they'll be confused and they'll send us messages like, why didn't you repeat the name of the game 20 times?
That's a good point. It's a fair point.
Yeah.
Well, last week, something went on sale. So like a giant sucker, I went ahead and got it. Pleased that I did, though, because I could always return it if I didn't like it. I like Steam's return policy. If you don't like it, you need to return it pretty quick.
You're the reason why they're going to jank that. They're just going to yank it one day. It's like, no, you know what? Too much Scott Johnson's going on.
I don't do it
here.
Very often. It's very rare that I do it. And even then, if you play more than 2 hours of anything, they won't let you return it. So
yes, Scott learned that the hard way.
You can't like get some AAA title, beat it, and then go, I didn't like it, and get your money back. It doesn't work that way. You got to know right away. So I picked up BattleTech for the PC.
Oh, yeah.
Now, you may be familiar with the BattleTech universe and various 90s implementations of the BattleTech strategy games, as well as the MechWarrior series, which I think is all tied together. I'm not a giant, super knowledgeable guy about all the background with the BattleTech lore and stuff, so I don't know if it's all connected. I think it is. But anyway, BattleTech harkens back to the old turn-based bunch of mechs fighting deal move game.
And how can you beat bunch of mechs fighting thing game? You can't.
Well, you can't beat
also,
it.
Also, I thought that I was getting this confused with another game that's free.
Oh, what were you thinking of?
MechWarrior.
Oh,
I think MechWarrior is
what
I was thinking.
MechWarrior is the new. So, all right. So, just a little bit of history, pretty much broken history because I don't understand this entirely. So, forgive me if I get any of these facts wrong. Chat room, feel free to correct me. But you got, and if I'm not totally dumb, I think BattleTech may have been like a board game first. I think that's a tabletop experience first and foremost. Mm-hmm. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's the case. Never played it, so I'm not totally sure. But here's the deal. You got your BattleTech, which is like your top-down, turn-based, go kill the other guy strategy title, all right? And that's what this is just a brand new, fresh version of it, okay? It was on Kickstarter, did well, came out. MechWarrior, not MechWarrior, chat room, MechWarrior was an offshoot of that. It was more of an action thing, so all the way up to MechWarrior 4, which is a fantastic game. You played, basically, it was a shooter with mechs, and they had overheating and, like, weird weapon stuff, lots of customization. It was great. And then, but jump up a bunch of years, nobody's doing mech games anymore for some reason. It just kind of fell off. And then you got your Hawken that got released.
Oh yeah, Hawken. I forgot about Hawken. I played Hawken for a hot minute.
Yeah, that came out on PC and I really liked it. Basically, it was just a first-person shooter, though, which was...
I think if you looked on YouTube, you may find where me and Scott played a minute of Hawken. I could have swore me and you actually...
We may have played Hawken. Got together. Yeah, actually, yeah. I think that may actually be true. I was a big fan of Hawken when it came out. The problem with Hawken is they stopped supporting it on their PC platform, and they moved to consoles, and now it looks like they're shutting all of it down. So apparently things didn't work out very well for the Hawken people. I feel bad about that, because that was a nifty game, and I think they had something going there. I don't know if it's just bad management or weird decisions. I don't know, but it was a fun multiplayer experience. Maybe in the current world of Fortnite and Overwatch and all that stuff, you just can't hang, I guess. I don't know.
Right.
All right. That being said, then along comes MechWarrior Online, which attempted to do a similar thing, but much more tactical, a little slower, more true to the origins of that stuff. But it's a free-to-play thing, and it still exists as far as I know. I think that MechWarrior Online thing is still a thing. That's the game you're talking about. That's what people are playing.
I think that's the free-to-play. I think you're right.
Now, along comes Kickstarter, and they go, hey, everybody, remember the old strategy title? Guess what? We're making Battletech, and we're making it happen, and contribute now. And it killed it on Kickstarter. It did finally come out. Rave reviews at the time, although right now there's some like weird activity on Steam that...
This looks good.
Yeah, it is good. So here's what I'm going to say.
I like the miniatures because it looks like you're kind of playing miniatures like probably the original game was, right?
Kind of and kind of not. Like, it's definitely minute. Well, okay. Yes. I mean, it's the turn-based tactical thing. Your mechs are little dudes on a big battlefield. You're moving those little dudes around. And they're not that little. They're huge, towering mechs. But you can kind of rise above the action and you know, issue your commands from a tactical sort of battlefield perspective. And then when you want to actually go, like, get up close and personal, it has, like, action cams that kick in when you're shooting something or sometimes when you're doing movement. Cool. So then it's, like, very first person or just over the shoulder or whatever, and you can hear them just going, gaboosh, 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 just, like, stomping through the desert or the forest or wherever you're fighting. If you've played XCOM in the last couple of years... You know kind of where I'm heading here. That's this kind of game. This is like XCOM Enemy Within and then the newer one, which whose name I forget, XCOM 2. It's a lot like that. But you could also have said in the past that XCOM, the original XCOM, was a lot like Battletech. I mean, this is just turn-based, you know, strategy title, 101 kind of stuff. I like this a bit better than at least the first XCOM reboot because I wasn't a big fan of all of the... base management stuff, and you don't really have as much of that here. You have some things like, you know, you're managing the tech of your mechs. You're trying to get them upgraded. You're trying to get better weapon technology, less overheating.
Yeah, your mech tech.
Yes. By the way, you can stand in water to cool down, which is awesome.
Oh, now that is kind of cool.
Yeah,
I don't know how that really stands up as far as science goes, but I like it.
Well, if there's a lake, you just go stand in it and then like steam all over the place. And,
do you steam it?
Yeah.
You like,
and I'm pretty sure.
So you're basically peeing in the lake.
I'm pretty sure the old games had this feature as well. I don't remember, though. I'm pretty sure they did.
Is that really a feature?
It's more of a requirement in my in my thinking. Anyway, quick gameplay overview. It's exactly what you think it is. You take turns. The enemy takes their turns. You try to have the upper hand. You try to win. It really sucks when your mechs get blown up. There's a hardcore mode, so you can get to a place where, you know, if you die, you're dead forever. If you want to play that kind of Iron Man thing, or there's much easier modes where you're just sort of focused on the game. Story's okay. Voice acting's a little creaky. It's not great. It's okay. Their cutscenes, they've opted to go with kind of, you know, that animatic comic kind of deal. Totally works for me. Totally works for me.
It can fit.
Yeah, not a problem. They've gone with a very gritty artist. It has a very cool kind of sketchy, rough paint feel, and I think it works for the quality of the game. And I really like it. So I'd say
good.
I don't think it's still on sale, but $24 is what it was on sale for. So I picked it up for that.
You did good because that was istthereanydeal.com. If you go there, you'll see that $24.99 is an excellent price for this game. Currently, it is sitting at $39.99 on the Steam, unless you want to get the digital deluxe edition.
Yeah, and who wants that? Really?
Or wait. If you're really into it, you can get the whole Paradox Interactive Collection Bundle, only $651.33 right now.
Well, that's all their games. You don't want all those, do you? Do you? Maybe you do.
You save 23%.
Gotcha. My biggest complaint is that there's a multiplayer mode and I'm terrified of it. And it's not really a complaint. What? I'm just afraid. I'm afraid.
Are you afraid that people got mad skills?
Yes. I'm going to get myself murdered in a way that is
embarrassing.
Embarrassing and ridiculous and over the top. And I'm going to regret my life choices if I play multiplayer. So I'm not doing that yet.
I had that same fear for any Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. I always feel like anytime I start a new Call of Duty game, I always feel like, oh, I didn't know this had been out for 6 months. Mm-hmm. Why is everybody else so much better than me?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. The video I'm watching right now, for some reason, they opted not to do any of the action cam stuff. I actually think that really adds to it. I understand if you're sort of sick of that, you just want to use the top down, and I get it. But I kind of like the watching a mech go and crash through some trees.
Half the fun is existing in a world where something is much larger than you, and as a consequence, moves so much slower and with such power. Each collision with the ground is boom.
Yeah.
And everything shakes for just a second. I love that kind of stuff.
It's pretty good. Now, Brian, your first game is one I actually own and forgot I had. So tell me about Data Wing, because
Data Wing.
I have this and I forgot. I think I may have downloaded it and never played it. So an Android iOS game.
Well, you are missing out, because I was just perusing through the store, just kind of flipping around Google Play Store. And I'm like looking through, and it's like, hey, if you like this game, might like this game. And I was like, what is this game? 4.8. That's pretty good out of 5. That's pretty darn good. Came out last year. Let me load this up. And at first I was kind of like, oh, look at all that neon. Mm-hmm. And what is this emoticon trying to tell me? Because it's very simple graphics. You're in this neon screen, and you got you get these.
It's almost
these
like
mazes that are made out of.
It's almost like Vector, right? Wouldn't you say a little bit like Vector?
Yeah, it's kind of like Vector. So okay, so the first thing you think is like, oh wow, I didn't know they remade Asteroids, because you're a little triangle. That's your character. He's just a little triangle, and he's living in a little neon world.
Yeah.
And he's being talked to by a little emoticon called Mother, and that emoticon starts telling you this story. And at first, I kind of was like, get out of here with your story. I don't need no story. This is a simple race type game where I've got to race through areas and do my thing.
You're like, story, I'm on the toilet. I don't need any story while I'm on the toilet.
I don't need no story while I'm on the toilet.
Yeah.
But what it did do is slowly started winning me over with the story. At the same time, this being an incredible amount of fun, and looking, the controls are so simple. Okay, so the controls are just this. I'm playing it on my Android phone. This is on iOS as well. Left-hand side of the screen, you take a left. If you push the right-hand side of the screen, you take a right. If you push both sides of the screen at the same time, you stop. Okay, easy enough. Now, the way you really get some speed going, though, is the mazes you're going through. If you get close up to the walls, your exhaust hits the wall, and it glows. The whole area just glows, and you just take off, and you go, and you fly really fast. Mm. And if you like games where you drift, this game is a drift game dream come true.
Now I see why I downloaded this.
Once you
this.
Get into that groove.
Yeah, I see why I downloaded it. I don't know why I didn't play it. I'm just looking at it. This is totally up my alley. This looks like something I'd like.
Oh, it is so, like I said, it's a drift racing game, essentially what it is. The idea is that you're a data wing, and you're being managed by Mother, who is essentially I'm not sure if Mother is supposed to be a program or supposed to be the actual hardware that you exist in, but you're in basically a computer type world, a data world, where your job is to from the start point to the end point, and usually you've got to do it in a certain amount of time. Sometimes you're racing against other data wings, and you're trying to accomplish this task. And just the writing is just so much fun in this interaction with Mother. And what happens, and your data is a little poopy, according to Scott. Is it, how bad is it?
It's pretty crusty. It's not so bad. It's not so bad that we can't hear you, but I have a feeling you're way lagged compared to me. I'm thinking. Burp. Okay, Brian's back. Burp. Sorry. Okay. Burp. So we were just saying how cool it was and that you like it.
Oh, so not only that, I love it. Game of the year.
Whoa, okay, shut up. You're a liar.
Okay, no. But it is an amazing game. I mean, like I said, if you like the drift games and you like a good story, because the story gets really good about maybe 10, 15 minutes in, because it goes from you're being just a passive observer to what's going on around you to you start learning more about characters that own the PC that you're currently on.
Yeah.
And so you start intercepting all this information about these characters. So every time you finish a race, you get a little bit of story chunk and a little bit more. And then as you go along, you run into other characters who are emoticons. It's a very simple game.
I like that they've tacked some story in there. Do you know if this has controller support, Wi-Fi controller support or something? Seems like that would benefit from that.
I almost would not want controller support because of the way it does so well with the touch and it's just I don't think I would enjoy it as much on a controller. I could be wrong, but I feel like it was designed with mobile devices in mind, especially cell phones, and I feel like they nailed it. They took all the things that make these kind of games good and they made it great.
I'm okay with that.
Four nine review out of a 5.
That's pretty good. You don't get much better than that in this world we live in. All right, the next game we're going to talk about is a little game called
Punxsal Tony Pin. What?
Pixel no. Punk XL. And chat room seeing some video right now. And some of you, if you're old like me, you're going, oh, it's like Descent. Not only does it look like Descent, it looks like crappy old Quake level graphics without any hardware acceleration or fanciness. And you'd be correct. That's basically what this is. Now I know I've talked a couple of times recently about a couple of games that are basically, or at least about one other game that is basically a modern remake of Descent. I think that game is called
Ascent.
No, it's the one that I talked about a while ago. Anyway, yeah, this is what this is, like a 6 degree of movement shooter. You're inside of some big space hulky thing. The video link's right there, Brian, if you want to see it. And you go in there and you shoot stuff and it looks like you're playing Quake because everything's like, aliased and kind of shite looking. And it works somehow. This was only like $2.
$2, where at? Did you pick it up off the Steam sale or something?
Well, that's the other thing is I saw it on Steam and it showed that it was not on sale. But it was showing just this cheap price of like, I don't know, $2-3. And I went, I'll do that. That's dumb. Like why? I would do that even if it sucked because I just want to see and then talk about it on the show if it's any good or not. Turns out it's pretty good. So if you want your Descent fix to be soaked in a nostalgic sort of layer of old looking tech, even though I think it's actually faking it.
I think you're right. It looks like Quake 1 era graphics.
Yeah, like Quake 1.
And it absolutely looks like Descent. I mean, there's no question.
Yeah.
About it.
So it's like Quake 1 and like a PlayStation 1 kind of that era of polygon. Not quite as jittery maybe, but definitely a PC era that we all remember from about, I don't know, 97, 98?
97,
So anyway, it's the other thing about it is, hey, guess what? Scott picked a game that has roguelike elements. Absolutely, it does. The levels are randomly generated. You go, they're pretty impressive. I don't know how they're doing it. You go in there, you shoot a bunch of stuff. If you die, you're dead, and you know you got to go back in and do it again, and you bring stuff back with you to make it better the next time, that sort of stuff. So it's following that thing. It's one dude who made this. It's only worth $2. Like, I feel like I'm ripping him off, honestly. Just a little bit. Feels like a bit of a ripoff. Like,
well, don't feel too
dipped.
Bad. It's up to $4 now. So, I mean.
It must have been on sale then, yeah. Still worth $4. Even if all you get out of is kind of a nostalgic, fun little little rip through a game. I think you probably dig it. And there's some really cool level effect stuff going on. The video we're looking at right now is like kind of Tron mode. And I think that's just the level he's on. I haven't seen this yet. But it's great. There's pickups, there's better weapons to grab, dudes to shoot. It's hard. That's the other thing, is I sucked real bad, real hard. Anyway, it's really neat. I think it's worth picking up.
I'm all stoked about this anyway. I've been having a bit of a nostalgia kick because I've been listening to the Masters of Doom, that audiobook that Will Wheaton is reading. I think it's also a book, but I just have the audiobook version as narrated by Will Wheaton. It is about the two Johns, Carmack and Romero.
Oh, yeah.
Have you listened to that audiobook?
No, but there's a great local. I do want to read that book / listen to it, or I'll probably end up reading it. But
you got to listen to it because Will Wheaton does a fantastic job of narrating it.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
I like so there's a Utah connection to this. Back in the day, before id Software took off, John Romero worked about 15 or 20 minutes from here at a software store called Software and More. I think his parents owned it, or his uncle did, or something. So he was known
wouldn't have been
as,
his parents, not according to the book.
No,
those parents are a real pill, according to Will Wheaton.
Yeah, Will right. Wheaton's got all the scoop on everybody. Anyway,
he's just reading it.
So go check it out. Pixel Punk XL. It's like $4 right now. And
yeah,
it's kind of dumb, worth it game. I like it.
Right. Masters of Doom. I think I picked that up as well. I got that on the Humble Bundle recently. I believe it had some audiobooks that were game related. And I picked it up there and I've been listening to it and enjoying it.
Okay.
When I'm playing games.
Well, why don't you tell me about Klaus?
Klaus?
I have no idea what Klaus is.
Klaus, I had no idea either until I decided that this time around my PlayStation Plus games had kind of failed me. Even though there were some decent games this time around, I just wasn't interested this time. And so I needed something, and I fell back to Brian's old ways of, hey, here's a demo. That's free.
Oh, you like demos,
right?
Yeah.
So I decided to download this. It was made in 2016. It's Klaus. You awake in a basement, and only thing you have your very, very born identity kind of stuff. You have no idea who you are. You don't know where you're at. You don't know what's going on. You just know that you're wearing your little cubicle work outfit, you know, like when you're at an office, your little office outfit. And the only thing you got is Klaus written on your arm. And you got to make it out of these puzzles. So it's a puzzle platformer.
So even Klaus doesn't know his origin. He doesn't know
Klaus. We assume his name is Klaus, but that's no guarantee. We just know that the word Klaus is on his arm. And since I just did the demo, I didn't get the finale to the story, and I'm interested in seeing the rest of it. But I gotta say, before I even get into the review, $20 for a 2016 game that's a puzzle platformer that may or may not give me 2-3 hours worth of entertainment. I just don't know if I'm ready to part with the $20 yet. Maybe when it goes on sale, I would even be willing to take a chance at maybe 15, but at 20, there's just so that's such a competitive market.
Yeah, it's a lot.
20.
It's a lot.
So this is a puzzle platformer, but it is a lot of fun because you've got this little plucky little music in the background constantly going on. It kind of keeps you going, and it feels like a little dance, and you're being led through these puzzles by text that is appearing on screen. Sometimes that text turns into platforms. It kind of plays with the idea that, you know, you're seeing the words and you're interacting with the words, and sometimes the words actually physically mean something in the game. Other than just this, you know,
would you say you're getting kind of a Meat Boy, Super Meat Boy vibe, kind of.
You
game?
Know, I've heard people compare it to Meat Boy, but not to me because yes, some of the puzzles are brutal, but not at a fast pace. I never felt like I was at a fast pace, and that's one of the things that, to me, seems like is going on with Meat Boy, because when you go through a puzzle, it's fast. It's like boom, 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 and either you make it or you don't.
Yeah, Super Meat Boy is a chaos generator.
Chaos generator, absolutely. Whereas Klaus is a little more laid back. Now, some of the puzzles are brutal. There's one area, and I recorded this, and I'm going to post it later, but there is one area where I have to go jump these platforms, and underneath the platforms is this fast-moving conveyor belt, and you have all these platforms that are rotating in counterclockwise and clockwise directions. There's so much going on. I was on that particular puzzle probably for close to 30 minutes, and it was just a constant death. Just like, boom, dead, boom, dead, boom, dead. And I was getting kind of frustrated.
Well, does it let you start right away? Like, you can come right back and get right back in?
Yeah. Respawn at your last checkpoint. So there's little checkpoints as you go along.
But no load times, right? Is there any load times?
No load times at all, because it's a very seamless puzzle that you're going through. And it looks like a platformer in that way. It's not like Meat Boy where you kind of got in between screens and stuff. This is very fluid, and you stop at checkpoints and you just keep going.
Sounds all right.
What's that?
It sounds all right.
It's all right. It's all right. That's exactly what I would say. If I'm interested in finishing the story. I am interested in getting this game because the story is kind of intriguing, because you do start to learn things about yourself along the way, but not much. It's mostly about your personality so far in the demo. I don't know why I'm here, what Klaus means. I am curious, but not so curious that I'm willing to unlock the key.
Yeah,
but it's a good looking. I like the art style.
Yeah,
the art style is kind of cartoony and kind of silly. And there's a point where I saw in the ad where I get to where I'm going to have an assistant who looks like me, and he's wearing the same. He's wearing the same, you know, casual wear, button up with a loose tie kind of casual Friday kind of thing. But he's like really big. He's giant. And apparently he's going to help me along the way.
Yeah. So what it looks like in the video I'm watching right now is that you, for a big chunk of the game, you're just little Klaus man, but then eventually you get this super power or ability where he kind of just hangs out with you and you're sort of part of him. And now you've got this like super strength, like,
yeah,
extra body.
And some of the puzzles are pretty cool, because a lot of us platform puzzles where you have to go, okay, I've got to jump from here to here, and I got to time it just right.
Yeah.
But then there's some where you actually get to chapters 2, 3, and 4, and it changes where you're everything's in a glitch. So everything is like, you remember Yar's Revenge and that one bar of pixels that were flying back and forth that was all different colors and stuff.
Yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Right. Yeah,
so anyway, kind of got that vibe going on. Everything is glitching and flipping like this. And
yeah, I was going to say, it looks like you're like it's another one of these games where you're trapped in a computer world or something. Like everything's, you know,
exactly
glitching out. Oh, no, so, there's a virus. We got to stop the virus kind of thing.
Right. So you'll approach one puzzle and you're like, how am I going to get past this puzzle? Because I can't jump that far. And then you realize, oh, you die on the spikes. And then you can jump on your body, because the body doesn't disappear right away. It does disappear at a certain amount of time, but you can just pile Klaus's up. Pow, 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 pow. Dead Klaus, dead Klaus, dead Klaus, dead Klaus. And then jump over and boom, 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 and get to your end puzzle. So it was a good way to waste. The demo lasted for maybe like an hour and a half for me. And, you know, it was fun. It was fun. I want to get this game. I really do. It's got to be the right price.
You continue where you were. It's not that kind of demo.
I probably not. Usually these demos on the PlayStation 4, usually it is a standalone and outside. It's not like usually. There's usually not an unlock on demos usually on the PlayStation 4.
Right.
It's just install that one.
Yeah.
Put this next one in. Good luck, sucker.
Yeah, good luck, everybody.
But the good news is, since I figured out the puzzles, it should go pretty quick.
Yeah, it should be all right. I also played a whole lot of Warcraft. I'm not going to show video for it.
What?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Get out of here.
I'm not going to say much except, like some kind of weirdo, after I capped 120 with my Demon Hunter and I went and did a bunch of dungeons and started to gear that dude up, getting him ready for raiding and mythics and all that.
Right.
I went ahead and started leveling the good old freaking Beastmaster Hunter, and now he's level 116, working on 120, and
wow.
It's kind of embarrassing how much WoW I'm playing. I'm doing most of it at night, so late nights, up way too late.
WoW at night.
Like, I'm tired now. Like, right now, I could just go, just lay over and sleep. But I'm not gonna. But, yeah, that game's great.
That makes for a less interesting podcast.
Yeah.
Scott takes a nap.
Yeah, that's true. Playing a little bit with my kids too. They're both running characters now, and it's just nice to be back into WoW when it's in its prime and having a blast. And it's great. It's great. Nothing wrong with that. All right, Brian, we'll jump straight to Stone Shard Prologue, which I own and have barely touched.
What?
But we need to talk about this game because my first impression of it isn't amazing. So you tell me about Stone Shard Prologue.
All right, let me tell you, because Techie Geek and Pikusaru both recommended this week for me to on Twitter that I grab the Stone Shard Prologue. And I was like, oh, what? It's a roguelike. You should be talking to Scott. And so I decided to give this a try. Sure enough, Stone Shard Prologue is what we call a fake out. It's a demo. Okay, so it really is. It's a demo. It's a taste of what is to come, because this game is still very much in alpha. It is not slated to really come out until 2019, in which case you will buy the Stone Shard official game. It is a roguelike, as we said. And I can understand why you might get frustrated, because it feels at this point a little incomplete. It's a good idea though, because you start out as a prisoner in a dungeon, and there is a vampire guard, as there often are in my roguelikes. Yeah. Right.
He looks like a little Jason Statham, by the way, this little guy.
He does look like Jason Statham. Actually, I thought like a really buff Brian Ibbett.
Yeah.
Or a Jason Statham, but he's got a little bit of beard, but he's 16 pixels of buff.
Yeah.
And you start out and you have to take off your shackles, which is very easy. All you do is you drag them from your character's inventory from being on to being off. Yeah. And you start out immediately, and apparently the guy you've been rooming with in this cell, his name is Locke. And if you loot his body, you get a lockpick.
Mm.
Oh, how spot on. Mm. And apparently you didn't feel the need to try to escape until there was some kind of upsetting, some kind of earthquake, I suppose. And what happens is these stone blocks fall on the vampire guard, and that gives you the motivation to finally stop being a prisoner and break out.
Mm.
And this is exactly what you do. So you get all your stuff, get your lockpick, you pick your way out of the prison, and you're trying to make your way out of the prison. How far I've made it so far, I played a couple of hours. The gameplay did get repetitive for me, because going from floor to floor is how you make progression. Mm. So you're in the basement at first, and you might make it past there. If you die, you have to start back over in the prison.
Yeah.
So each checkpoint is on a different floor. So you have to complete the whole floor before you can go to the next level. The prison level is the same all the time. That starts out the same. You do the thing. You have to do some trickery with some traps and stuff so you can get by. But once you get on the second level, that is where everything is procedurally generated. And each level that you get to, each time you get to a new level, you have to find the stairway out of that level. And as you go along the way, you have to loot boxes, beat up boxes, so you can get swords and mana and potions and all those good things that we love to loot for.
This is all my favorite stuff. Everything you've said. Here's the problem: when I cracked it open, the control is weird. It doesn't feel great. That's my biggest problem. It doesn't control as well as it should. And maybe that's because they're nowhere near done, and this is just a prologue, and when the thing's done, it'll be incredible. But what I wanted is a snappy, if it's going to be an action RPG, it's kind of turn-based action RPG hybrid, because the movement is like turn-based. Because you'll move a little, bad guy will move a little. You move a little, bad guy moves a little. But the actual combat is real-time, like Diablo or an action RPG. Mm-hmm. And so it's a little confusing in that regard. I don't mind that. It just feels slow.
It feels like they've got a really good start, and I'm very excited about what's coming, because I do like you said, it is turn-based, but it's not like one-to-one turn-based. It's like, oh, if I go over 16 squares, each tile is a turn, and that's fine. You are allowed to move as many turns as you want until you're engaged by the bad guys. Or you can't go any further on the screen. And so, the different parts of your health are affected for certain amounts of time. And based on that effect, it may last like 20 turns. So you may, you know, get beat up and be bleeding, and, you know, it might bleed for 20 turns. And so you have to get to another part of the screen. I kind of like some of the things they got going on, though. If you really break down some of the mechanics of the game, they got some really good ideas that are going to be really entertaining when the full thing comes out. I kind of almost wish they hadn't released this prologue, because it does leave a little bit of bad taste in your mouth to think, oh, it's kind of, I'm with you. It's kind of, I see what you're trying to do, but right now it's just a little bit frustrating. Until you get the balance right, I think that might have been better to wait it just a little bit longer. But well, I have great hope for it. It's one of those games I have a great hope for.
Well, I'm excited. We'll see how it goes. I played it. I can see the potential. Just need to see it through. Hopefully they'll keep... Maybe they'll update the prologue as they improve certain control systems and stuff like that. That'd be cool.
This didn't seem very deep.
Yeah.
As far as the... It felt like a lot of the rooms, I was just doing the same thing. I could almost tell you the outcome every time I would go against certain... certain bad guys. I could almost absolutely tell you what the outcome was going to be before I even entered a room. Like, oh, well, I'm about to die. Or, oh, I should be to clear this, no problem.
Yeah.
You know, that felt kind of bad. And also, the procedurally generated levels are kind of really all over the place, because one time I generated and it was like nothing but mana stuff. Mm. And then the next time I generated, I had so many weapons. Everything was a weapon, and it was all these really cool weapons. And the next time I wouldn't get any weapons.
Mm.
And so it just needs to be a little bit more balanced. It needs some more work. It needs work.
Okay. Well, we'll check back in on Stone Shard, when it comes out. And the prologue is currently available on Steam for money?
For free.
Is it free?
No, okay. For free. Yeah, the prologue is free. It's a demo.
All right. Said, Scott, go get the demo. Play the demo.
It's a demo.
All right. Well, it's time for this guy.
It's me, Mario.
It's this guy again. With our little game we like to play called Guess My Game. And we bring sound and audio from games of old. And we play them for each other and see if each other can guess what games they are. The tradition is I start first, and I will do that today with this clip. Ryan, are you ready?
Oh, I am so ready.
All right, guess what this is. Chat room, feel free to pipe in if you know.
Is this a StarCraft like?
No, it's not. All right, so I'll tell you what it is. Well, I'll give you an era.
No, wait, I'm still guessing. All wait, right. People are still guessing.
All right, I'll give you an era. The era is, let's give it the year
1998. 97.
Platform.
This definitely feels like it's a platformer. It's not a top-down game.
No. So I mean, the platform, I'm just going to say the platform you would play this on is the Nintendo 64, and you would play it nowhere else.
64 bits, huh?
Yeah.
It's too action-based to be Metroid.
It's not Metroid, I can tell you that.
I'm really having a tough time placing that one.
Another hint. Rare, Nintendo at the time owned them, I think, didn't they? Or did they just publish for Rare? I don't remember.
I don't think they've always published for people. I don't think they've ever done anything.
I thought they had some investment thing going. But anyway.
You might be right. Because
Rare was responsible for all kinds of stuff. But anyway.
Right.
Are there
Marines involved?
No. I'll tell you what's involved. There's usually a city in front of you, and in the back of it, a big giant truck full of missiles and dynamite that needs to make it through the city without blowing anything up. And your job is to clear the way. Is this ringing a bell yet?
No, I've never played this game.
That's pretty specific.
I should know.
This game is called, where is it? Blast Corps.
Never played it.
It's great. And it all, there
I think
you
I've
go,
seen
chat
some
room.
Cover.
Courtney got it. Yeah, Blast Corps.
Yeah.
You're correct.
I think I've seen some cover art for this, and I remember thinking, oh, it looks cool, but I don't think I ever played it.
It's super cool. It's some, I got.
Oh, yeah. That looks wicked.
Yeah, I got super hooked on it. It's basically just like destruction in a video game before that was a thing. Like there weren't too many games that showcased that sort of stuff. And you could, you know, you drive through this place in a big thing. You had a timer. You had to hurry up and then just take down all the buildings in the way of this thing and other obstacles. And sometimes the obstacles were harder to get through, so you had to hurry up. And if you didn't, the thing would explode and kill everybody and start over. It was one of the only video games of that era that my dad would play. He loved this game and would play it for hours and hours and hours. In fact, my mom got mad because I left my N64 at his house once and just said, "Here you go, Dad, play this." And he just played and played and played. And he wasn't really into console games otherwise. But anyway, Blast Corps for the N64. If you get a chance to try it sometime on somebody's old N64, you will not be disappointed. It's a good time.
You're not disappointed. Not one bit.
Brian, I'm about to play yours. I have no idea what this is. Here goes. Oh, this sounds like, hold on. This guy, somebody running. Is that you or the game? Oh, whoa.
I'll give you some hints.
Oh, you know what? I know what this is.
No, I don't want to give you hints.
I know what it is.
But you can't. I want to give you a hint. Here is 2001.
2001?
Yeah, 2001. You just got back from the Blockbuster with your... And you're gonna pop this into your PlayStation 2, well, most likely.
Hold on, 01. Wasn't that 02? Wait, when
this was... this game was initially released in 2001.
Oh, you're right.
For the PlayStation 2, if you're thinking of what I'm thinking.
Okay, well, this had to be Grand Theft Auto 3 then, not 2.
Yeah, you got 3. That's right. I was thinking you wouldn't get the 3 part.
I thought maybe 2 because the date seemed weird to me, but also the audio was very much like a more modern one. Like, that sounded like what's the name running around with his feet on the ground. So
that was the first one, part 3, where they kind of really brought it into the what we think of today.
Three changed the entire thing. Like it changed gaming. Gaming's road rash. Someone in the chat's talking about road rash, but there are moments in video game history where you can just see a seismic shift. And Doom is one of those. Grand Theft Auto 3 is one of those. Super Mario 64 is one of those. Like, where things in the genre, be it 3D platforming or racing or whatever it is, gets just turned on its ear and changes forever. Grand Theft Auto 3 was one of those. Open world gaming changed forever after that game came out. Yeah, and it deserves all the credit in the world. Good call. Good pick. I like that.
You like it?
I listened to the 80s station when I turned the radio on in there. That's what I would do.
Well, of course you did.
Yeah.
Because you couldn't listen to the late 2009s on that because... it was 2001.
There's a freaking fruit fly in here, and I'm going to kill it. The thing is pissing me off. Gosh dang it, fruit fly. Don't bother me.
There's no fruit in here.
There's no fruit here for you. Actually, I really don't have any fruit. Do I? Oh, I have a Twinkie over there, but that's fine.
It's not really fruit.
It's not really a fruit. You're right. The news story of the week. This is a big one. I think maybe, possibly. It might be terrible. Who knows? But Streets of Rage 4 is coming. A new Streets of Rage game coming from Dotemu and Lizard Cube, the publisher and developer of Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap, which was pretty good, by the way. They announced today Streets of Rage 4 in a partnership with Sega. They also involved the creation of Streets of Rage 4 is Guard Crush Games, developers of Streets of Fury and the side-scrolling beat-em-up, in 2015. That use digitized graphics. Streets of Rage 4 will feature series veterans Axel and Blaze.
Axel and Blaze, baby.
Brand new arcade style romp will feature classic beat 'em up gameplay, new fighting mechanics, and an original story. According to its creators, the sequel to 1994's hit game on the Genesis, Streets of Rage 3. It's been since 94, you guys.
Wow, man.
What's that?
Wow.
23 years? 24.
It's been a while, and man, it looks like it was longer than that when you look at the graphics and stuff. How were the graphics? They were 94.
That's right. Sega Streets of Rage series kicked off Sega Genesis in 91. The original Streets of Rage was followed by a sequel in 94, and then the 3 in 94. Or, sorry, 92 and 94 is the one I just mentioned. Series was fondly remembered for its strong visual style and music from composer Yuzo Koshiro.
Oh, so wait. So is this? I gotta. Is this? Is Sega still Sega? I mean, this? Didn't Sega get split into like?
Well, they're still Sega in that they're kind of like a publishing arm. So they own all the IP and they publish games. Like, for example, if you go play any of the Total War games, you're playing a Sega published title, which is weird because, you know, whatever.
Which feels dirty,
yeah,
right?
They do that a lot. They don't have their own in development houses anymore, but there is still Sonic Team.
That's what makes me super sad, because it's like you want that original Sega blast processing attitude behind the development, right?
Do so we,
you
though?
Got
do
this
we?
New version.
Do we though? What? Do we really want
that? You know, I do. I have a soft spot for Sega.
I do too, but I love Sega. I was a Genesis guy, but I don't know if I'm. I think I may have had misplaced loyalty back then. Here's the thing.
Oh, absolutely.
When they make a new Sonic game, the current Sonic game that did all right and reviewed pretty good in the last couple of months, that's still Sonic Team. That's still some kind of Japanese Sega-related developer. So I don't know how Sega works necessarily now compared to then. But if they really want to make me happy, what you do is a big open-world crazy taxi where it's not just take people and drop them off and beat the timer, but a big GTA-style open-world mission thing where crazy taxi is the focus. That's the game you need to be making, okay? I'll play that right now. If you make that game, I'll buy it.
Right. We will stop the boob show right now.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, Streets of Four Rages.
Streets of Four. Have you ever listened to the audiobook or read the audiobook about the history of Sega and Nintendo?
No. Look at you with all your audiobook knowledge.
Oh, yeah, man. I would listen to that heavy last summer. I'm trying to remember the name of the book though, but it's well narrated.
What's the name of the book?
I'm looking right now.
Yeah, I need the book name. I'd pick it up.
You keep doing your thing, and I'll just Google this real quick.
Sounds great. While Brian does that, I will tell you that you can email this show and have your emails read right here on the air. Can't talk today. Boop show.
Console Wars.
Boop. Oh, really? That sounds all right.
Yeah.
Check that out.
It was good.
Boopshow@gmail.com. That's boopshow@gmail.com. And we got an email from Carla who says this. Hey, y'all. If you're looking for a side-scrolling game that had a great story and pretty tight gameplay, check out The Final Station. Plays great on the Switch, says Carla. So, Carla, I looked this up. This is a Switch downloadable and probably on PC and some other stuff, although I don't see it. Enjoying
Steam.
Metacritic score of 80, which is pretty strong.
I've seen this before. This looks really good. It's something I've wanted to play for a while.
I'm going to read what this says. Let's see here.
It reminds me of that game I played not that long ago on the show. What was it? Black Sail or something like that?
Is it a ship?
It looks like you kind of fight as you go along. Sometimes you're fighting in trains, and sometimes you're fighting at stations. Ha!
It's a 2D adventure, mixes a little bit of exploration, action, apocalyptic world. That sounds good to me. A little bit of microtransaction on the plane, or micromanagement of the train, sorry. Because I guess there's a train involved. This is based on an old game.
That's a good question. Not sure about that.
2 years after... Oh, no, it says 2 years after the PC release. Not that old.
Ah.
I'll look into this. I'm interested.
I might pick this up. Heck, I might even have this somewhere. I've definitely looked at it before. It was on my wish list for a while, I know, and I can't remember if I ever purchased it or not. Never played it, though.
Well, we love your recommendations. Please keep those coming, Carla, and anyone else who wants to do that, boopshow@gmail.com.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Speaking of suggestions, yeah. Justin Hall on Twitter this past week suggested that I pick up Shadow Blade Reloaded on my PS4. And I knew it'd be another week before I got my next PS Plus game, so I went ahead and picked up. It was just a few dollars. If you're a PS Plus member, I think it was around $2.99. Shadow Blade Reloaded. It looks interesting.
What is that game? What do you do there? Do you know?
You take your shadow and you take your blade
and you reload it.
Yeah. It's actually a action platformer, you're the last remaining ninja of his clan. Guiding you through the challenging levels. That's right.
Oh, it's called Shadow Blade Reload.
Did I say Reloaded?
Yes, you did.
I apologize. Reload. This is on the Steam as well,
yeah.
But it's $14.99 over there as opposed to just a few bucks on the PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, so this is interesting. Action platformer set in a visually striking world where your ancient teachings of ninjas, samurais, clash in the modern landscape. Da, da. This looks all right.
Looks good. Looks good.
2015?
Mm-hmm.
That's not too long ago. I play games from 2015 still. I'm okay with it. Oh, this looks nice.
Ooh. For a few bucks on your PlayStation, can't beat it.
Yeah, look at that. All right. More Metroidvania, if you didn't have enough. Mm-hmm. Something about this looks... Oh, you know what I know this from? This was a mobile
game. You had the original?
No.
How was it?
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Shadow Blade. The Reload is the PC PlayStation
probably.
Port.
You're
Shadow
probably right.
Blade.
Shadow
iOS.
Blade.
Yeah, look at that. Four. iOS, iPhone, probably on the other thing too. Yeah, I have this on iOS. It doesn't look cool as that. Is near as cool as that looked. That looked way
no,
cooler.
No, this look. Yeah, Reload. I think they also did some graphics engine stuff because no, the mobile version does not look nearly as sweet as the Reload.
No, it looks good. I'm going to have to look into this. All right. Well done. Well said. Well done, everybody. Thanks for that recommendation. That was fine stuff there you gave us. It's going to do it for the show. Big thanks to everybody for hanging around. And listen, if you stick after the show, we'll give away a couple of game codes. So don't go anywhere. Frogpants.com/boop is our website. Boopshow@gmail.com is our email address. And as always, if you are interested in being a part of the larger show, you can send us those emails. We'll read them on the show. You can also follow us on Twitter. At Boop Show. Brian's at The Brian Dunaway. I'm at Scott Johnson. And the show, of course, is at Boop Show. Boopshow.reddit.com if you are more of a Reddit type. I know you guys exist. So get on over there for that stuff. And it's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for all of you, see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like steam.
Yeah.